Good morning. Our scripture text is taken from the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 will serve as our text. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. To get the context of our scripture, we'll begin reading in verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. So the general thrust of our passage here is this: anything that detracts from the preeminence of Christ is to be avoided. Christ must be first. We are to have no gods before Him, and we are to have no gods beside Him. In the sermon proper this morning, we would begin by speaking with regard to philosophy and empty deceit. These promise hope and wisdom, but they deliver neither of these. We will deal this morning with their origins. First, according to the tradition of men. Secondly, according to the basic principles of the world. And finally, we will contrast these with what is according to Christ. So we'll stick quite closely with our text this morning in the sermon, as is wise to do anytime we endeavor to delve into the Word of God and extract its principles for our lives. First, there is the tradition of men. Some trust that the keeping of their tradition will earn them favor with God. They have placed their tradition above the divine law. The Pharisees in Jesus' day were like this. We read in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus and said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, that he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Today, the same thing occurs. Not much has changed in 2,000 years. Indeed, there is nothing new under the sun, as the preacher wisely has said. Infant baptism, it is taught by the Catholics and others, gains one merit before God, although no such thing is commanded in the scriptures. In the fourth chapter of the first epistle to Timothy, we read this. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. Wow, that's pretty heavy stuff there, right? What is the Apostle Paul talking about? What are these doctrines of demons? Well, he's not going to leave us in the lurch. He's going to tell us. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron. What are the doctrines of demons? Well, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, is it a sin not to be married? No, it isn't a sin. There are some who have the gift of singleness and are able to live their lives before the Lord, but this is not normatively given. In other words, it's not something that's given to everybody, and it is certainly not incumbent upon the church to command certain people not to do or participate in the covenant of marriage which God has created and God has called good. Secondly, commanding to abstain from foods. Fasting is good, but fasting is to be done secretly and from a heart which seeks to abstain from certain things in order to achieve greater personal devotion, communion, fellowship with the Lord. To command others to fast, by contrast, as it is done in church tradition, is contrary to the scriptures. Now, religious tradition was one of the reasons the Jews missed their Messiah. And so it is today that many miss the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is buried under the tradition of men. Men have taken the gospel and set it on the ground and built upon it an altar of rocks, which profits nothing. I hear many say in my day-to-day conversations, maybe you've heard this, maybe you've said this, I am not a Christian, I am a Catholic. I'm going to translate that into authentic Wunsakatese language. The translation is this: I am an unsaved practitioner of the tradition of men, and I wish to stay that way because it is easy. And I will stay that way, thank you very much. Every Christian has one of three authorities. We have addressed, or rather, the scripture has addressed the tradition of men this morning. This is subjective authority. Subjective authority can be wrong. When we go by the tradition of men and we follow that as dogma and doctrine, we're going to get ourselves into trouble Because there's a fatal flaw in having the tradition of men, and it's the word men. We're sinners. When we come up with our own tradition, eventually we're going to contaminate that tradition by sin, whether knowingly or more often, unintentionally. Another authority that a Christian may have is the authority of emotionalism. They come to church and they worship God for what they can get out of it, for how they can feel. You've heard this advertisement, right? Come and experience authentic worship. The idea there is that what is going on is that men are trying to create an artificial atmosphere that people can experience to bring them closer to God. You don't need men to create an experience. We need God to create a conviction in our hearts, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The third authority that the Christian might have is Scripture. This was Jesus' authority, right? Contradistincted, and that's not even a word, but I can't think of another one right now. So I'm going to give you a contradistincted, because you can figure out what that means from the context. The traditions of men with the commandments of God and with the doctrines of God. The implication here is that the doctrines of God and the commandments of God are 100% accurate and authoritative. And so, Scripture is the norm for all matters of Christian faith and practice. Second point in our text this morning, the basic principles of the world. This is worldly wisdom. The truth about human wisdom is that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Those who exalt the basic principles of the world are in a state of rebellion against God. Of them it is written, professing to be wise, they became fools, for the wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. In self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. In other words, these words are all the words of Scripture. You find them in your bulletin. You can read them for yourselves in your Bible. Worldly wisdom leads to pride and sin. This is the opposite of divine wisdom, which leads to humility, the opposite of pride, and holy living, the opposite of sin. Solomon traveled the road of the basic principles of the world. You can read all about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us learn from his experiences and take his conclusions to heart. In the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, when all was said and done, and Solomon had pursued the vanity of the world and the things of the world, he writes this, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. And God himself affirms this by putting his stamp upon them as the word of God. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. And that word admonish simply means warning. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. In other words, this is God's will for your life and your time and your pilgrimage on this planet. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Worldly wisdom. The perils of worldly wisdom. In our text, it is stated that the tradition of men and the basic principles of the world are, quote, not according to Christ. So, okay, we've heard all about the things that are not according to Christ. So we're going to argue from the negative to the positive by answering the question. Okay then, what is according to Christ? In other words, what then shall I do? Instead of human philosophy, let us look to divinely revealed truth. Instead of empty deceit, there is sure hope in Christ. Instead of tradition of men, there are precepts of God. Instead of the basic principles of the world, there are the elementary principles of Christ. Such as the fact that salvation is only found in Christ. That it is by grace alone, and that it is not of works. That we receive it as a gift through our belief in the basic truths of the gospel. Believing that God sent His Son, that He came down, that He was crucified in the flesh. That those nails were pounded mercilessly into His hands and His feet. For you, that He died, that He rose again, and that He lives forevermore, that all who trust in Him might receive eternal salvation, that those who believe might be there with Christ also. That salvation cannot be lost once received from God, and that the Lord calls His people to holy living, that the gospel might be preached not only in word, but also in deed. Christian friend, stick to the truth, and do not be chasing every new fad in evangelicalism. There are those who market Christ irreverently. We reject that. Marketing Christ apart from His gospel and excluding deliberately that the command has gone out to repent from our dead works. Should be a red flag. Evangelicalism. What is popular today is seeking to conform Christ to men instead of the other way around. We must avoid this as a church and as God's people. We are called to conform men to Christ. And not conform Christ to men. skeptic, unsaved friend. Stop playing games with cheap imitations of the truth. I don't care if you've read every book in the Harvard University library. This is of no avail, and you know nothing if you don't know Christ. All of that knowledge will not get you into heaven. But the simple knowledge of the man born blind. I know one thing, that I was blind, and now I see. Will. So come to Christ, seek His divine wisdom through prayer and the careful attention of the reading of God's Word. Continuing life under worldly principles will not end well. If you continue on the road you're on Judgment Day, it will be said of you, the fruit that you so longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Which side of the fence are you on? So friends, I'm going to leave you with that sobering message as we go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we wish to accompany the angelic chorus this morning. In rejoicing as one soul that is lost is found this morning. Lord, convict the hearers of the truth and the need for Christ this morning. The fact that there will come a day, that there will come a time where it's one-on-one. And we will be forced to deal with our Maker. For those of us who are redeemed this morning, we say thank you for saving us from a wasted life and a wasted eternity. So Lord, we pray that you help us, that we might live lives worthy of our calling, that we might live as lights in a dark world. Grant us power and wisdom, and save us from ourselves during those times where we're prone to sin and to fall under the weight of temptation, where we've fallen short. Lord, forgive us for that thing that we've done this week. Lord, forgive us of that sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.